Welcome to Just JKing, the podcast where we transform your HR headaches into high fives. Whether you're a founder, CEO, or just someone with HR questions you're too afraid to ask, we've got the insights, laughs, and light bulb moments that you crave.
Enjoying the show? Hit that five-star review and subscribe now so you never miss out.
Welcome back to Just JKing with Jennifer and Kim.
Today, we're excited to welcome Brian Slomka, who is a partner with Odgers Interim as well as Professional Services, which is a service line by Odgers Berntsen Canada. He's responsible for providing organizations with talent solutions that enable transformation and growth.
Prior to joining Odgers, Brian spent 9 years working with Canadian IT consulting organizations focused on delivering talent solutions to small, mid-sized, and enterprise-level organizations. In these roles, Brian was responsible for client management and consulting with organizations on attracting and retaining top talent.
Welcome, Brian.
Thank you for having me today, Kim and Jennifer.
So let's get started. We are recording this podcast in November, although it might be playing in December, and we are looking at a very interesting mustache on your top lip. Do you want to tell everybody why it is that you are raising money for Movember?
Yes, I appreciate that. So definitely don't wear a mustache year round, more of a beard guy. But for November, I'm really passionate about Movember and raising both funds and awareness for men's mental health, prostate and testicular cancer awareness, and suicide prevention. So it's obviously something that is for the month of November, but certainly something that is important to be aware of year round.
That's fantastic. Terrific. So Brian, what would be considered executive interim and fractional work? I know that that's an area that you really focus on in your practice. Can you help our audience understand exactly how you would describe that work?
Absolutely. So it's something that over time has certainly evolved. So I've been with Odgers now for about 5 years, and even in the 5 years that I've been here, it's certainly been something that's evolved. So Odgers Interim has been in the UK for about 20 years, in Canada for about 10 to 15. And in that time, again, there's been quite the evolution. I would say where we are today is executive interim and fractional is sometimes something that's used interchangeably. The big difference between the two, executive interim work would be more so those 5 days a week, individual there supporting a client, fractional being obviously that sort of 1 to 4, being able to supplement a workforce and being able to come in and really add value by having past experience, whether it be situationally, in a sector, or functionally.
And so you work with executives who want to do work on an interim or on a fractional basis. Can you tell us a little bit about the profile of somebody who might be looking to do this work and the type of quality that your clients are getting when they're working with you?
Absolutely. I would say it's oftentimes a bit misunderstood of who does interim work, because it's not something that's always very visible of who the workforce is that is performing interim executive mandates. At the same time as well, too, if a client hasn't previously worked within that world and hired an interim executive, it's fair to assume that, you know, they don't know what type of talent that they would be bringing in. So I would say that there's three main buckets of talent. The first being individuals who put their hand up and say, this is the type of work that I want to do. I've been working in a corporate setting for 15 years, 20 years, and I really enjoy what interim executive work is. I enjoy being parachuted into an organization and really being able to make an impact for a certain period of time. There are individuals who are in transition. Maybe they've never been a free agent before, and this is an interesting fork in the road where they can look and say, maybe I'll go and do another full-time assignment, or maybe I'll look at doing interim. I've never had the opportunity to look at doing that. I wouldn't leave a full-time role to take on an interim assignment, but this is an interesting point in my career where I can look at that. And then the third group of individuals would be those who maybe they're 5 years away from retirement. They've got a lot of gas left in the tank. They're less interested in maybe the compensation and it being something that is going to be the most financially rewarding part of their career. But they're at a point where they want to give back. They're at a point where they want to work with good people doing interesting things. And they're not ready to hang it up yet.
Got it.
So, Brian, I personally went through a phase in my career after being in several toxic environments where I actually was purposely looking for contract work. But that time, I won't say how long ago, but it was a while ago, you know, people kind of looked at you very suspiciously. It's like, well, what's wrong with you then? I mean, I had someone who actually hired me later be like, yeah, I didn't believe that you actually just wanted a contract. You were totally here to try to get that person's role. What would you say to someone who still thinks that that's the case, that there's anything to be suspicious about when you're looking at people who are interested in interim or fractional work?
A really, really interesting point. When you look at where most people are hired, the default is full-time. Most people are taking on full-time permanent roles. So there feels like there's some comfort in that space. When you look at the statistics about how long people are in full-time roles, I don't know what the exact number is, but it's between 2 and 3 years before, on average, that people can move on to a new role. When you look at the average length of a contract, it's about 12 months. So there isn't as large of a delta there as maybe people would think. There's sometimes that sense of security in being in a full-time role, but at the same time too, being able to be in an interim assignment and do different things with different people, there's some excitement to that. And there is also some stability, as both of you know, through work that you do. When you build a great base of clients and you have individuals that you work with often, there's a lot of stability in that as well. So is there a bit of a misconception still at times about people doing interim work and it being lesser than? I would say with some crowds, for sure. Certainly not the case. I experience on a daily basis the individuals who I work with who do interim executive assignments are top tier talent, because not everybody can be dropped into an environment and make an impact. Not everybody can deal with that level of ambiguity. Not everybody bets on themselves every day in every contract to say that I'm going to do an incredible job, because this is essentially a tryout for my next contract.
I think it just shows resilience and resourcefulness. Like, if you're someone who likes to get in and figure things out and prove value immediately and have the capability and sort of the ability to take a risk and do that very quickly in a novel environment, it's actually a very skilled person that can pull that off and isn't terrified the entire time of what they're going to do next. So I think those people are actually very valuable, not just because I said that I was one of them at one time. But, you know, a lot of people do just like the variety and the intensity of getting to do that.
And there's flexibility in that as well. So oftentimes people will look at this and say there's flexibility for an organization. Absolutely. The structure of an interim executive contract is obviously very different than hiring somebody on a full-time basis. On the flip side of that, the individual who's taking on an executive interim assignment has flexibility in terms of when their contract is done. Maybe that gives them an opportunity to go on a vacation for a month or two. It gives them flexibility in terms of the work that they take on. I hear quite often individuals say, I would have never considered working in this environment on a full-time basis, but on an interim basis, this is interesting. This is exciting. This is something where I wouldn't have exposure to this otherwise. And maybe this is going to open up doors that otherwise would have been closed to me.
So for an executive, it also could be a great opportunity to develop a new skill, work in a new industry, or develop new contacts. And so definitely something for senior executives to be thinking about at the right time in their career. But Brian, we've been hearing a lot more about fractional work in the market ever since COVID. And COVID really changed the game in the way that we work, and the way that we think about work and the relationship that employees have with work. How have you seen trends change in your business relative to these new ways of working? And what are some trends that you see coming out of that?
So completely agree that the pandemic has changed the way that we work in many ways. Fractional work has been more on the rise in the last year than probably it was in the last number of years combined. I think that that's for a number of reasons. I think that's because it's access to talent that maybe doesn't have 5 days a week to give to a specific organization. I think that when you look at the cost of bringing in some of these individuals, it's more affordable to bring them in 3 days a week than five. And there are a lot of instances where the work that they do in 3 days can equal out to 5 days. It's a lot about the flexibility that it provides for both sides. I've seen individuals who will take on a fractional interim assignment for a few days and still have the opportunity to do board assignments and be on the board of directors for a number of organizations. It gives them an opportunity to maybe support a not-for-profit organization that's meaningful to them. So fractional is from a time perspective, you certainly have to be a lot more organized, as both of you know, in terms of being able to balance a lot on the go and juggle a lot at once. But at the same time, too, there probably is no opportunity to have more variety than there is in a fractional role.
I think that's a great point. And I know I struggled with this, and I guess, Kim, you probably do too. But when they look at the cost of fractional, when they're getting a higher level person, and then they're kind of, well, that still kind of looks like one full-time human to me cost-wise. I find a lot of leaders in these organizations fail to really recognize the value that they're getting for what they're paying. It's not just, could I get some level of HR person for this amount annually? It's that you're getting someone at the highest level of their function who can be really strategic with their organization. Is that an objection that you've gotten? And what would you say to organizations who might be curious about this in terms of the real value of getting that fractional executive in versus looking at that as a full-time salary at another level?
I think that you are absolutely bang on in terms of how you describe that. It's about the value. In many conversations I have when people are trying to do the quick math and, well, this actually equals out to what a full-time employee would be, but this individual is only working 3 days a week. It's not an apples to apples situation in terms of comparing the two. On a full-time basis, we all know that we're looking at things like benefits, bonuses, severance, vacation. There are just a number of things that you look at where that total rewards is significantly higher than maybe just a dollar figure represented through salary. You're also hiring for the work that's being done as opposed to hiring for a job. I think that's one of the biggest pieces that needs to be separated in that equation is the work is being done in a shorter period of time by an individual that from a salary perspective would likely be outside of the band that you'd be willing to pay, outside of what the budget is for that position. So again, I think it goes back to that default that sometimes we have and organizations have of always comparing it to what we know best, which would be full-time. And you can't really compare the two because the features are very different.
We're describing a lot of the fractional world. Tell us a little bit about interim. And so interim looks a little bit different. And the way that you described it, Brian, was really having somebody kind of fill in for a job for a period of time. And it might be full time for a period of time. Tell us a little bit about some of the benefits of interim assignments and what would lead a company to the option of interim.
There are two main, I'll use it, it's almost macro themes, but two main themes of why you would look to hire an interim executive. It's either from a stability perspective, potentially you've had somebody leave the organization unexpectedly and needing to bring somebody in to really take on that role for a certain period of time until a longer term strategy is figured out. The other piece of it, which we've seen really pick up steam over the last number of years, is the strategic side of it. So bringing somebody in that has a skill, that has been through a situation that maybe the organization hasn't been through before, that could be going through an IPO, that could be going through a transaction, that could be through a scale up. So in a way, you're almost buying or borrowing that talent and that experience and that playbook for a set period of time. It is typically on those interim executive roles, it's 5 days a week. You know that that person is dedicated to your organization during that time. And you know that that's somebody who you can rely on through that that contract period. Where we've also seen a bit of an interesting switch, which I think is, again, just showing some of the flexibility that we have as a workforce is when you have that individual unexpectedly leave, You look at your succession plan. Maybe the puzzle pieces aren't aligning as well as maybe we would have hoped. Maybe you have somebody internally who could be a successor, but they're not ready today. So if your first option is to look and say, let's go to market, let's hire somebody full-time to replace the full-time individual that has left, what is that signaling to the individual who is sitting there and hoping that they can take on that role in 12 to 24 months? They're now almost in a position to say that that role will not be mine one day. And if I want a role like that, I need to look externally. The other side of that is if you look from an interim perspective and say, when that individual leaves the organization, let's bring in an interim executive. Let's have them take on that position. And let's have part of the assignment be to get the successor ready and to get them in a position where they can take this on. So we're not just in a position today where we can continue to motivate and train the individual to get them to this position that they want to be, but we don't have to sacrifice quality in the meantime.
I love that because we are going through a generational shift right now with a lot of the baby boomers looking to retire in the next 5 to 10 years. And then the younger generations, quite frankly, Generation X, who has been held back from some of those top jobs because boomers were holding them for so many years, really does create a lot of gaps for organizations. So I really enjoy that approach. I think that that is an excellent solution and a great use case for interim solutions.
So one thing I'll put as an asterisk, I don't want to come across that interim is always the right solution. I would say that 85% of the time, hiring a full-time executive is typically what is going to make the most sense. When you know what your path is, when you know what your strategy is, absolutely that makes the most sense. If there is a situation where maybe that long-term strategy is not as crystallized, or if there are lots of moving parts and you can benefit from taking a moment to catch your breath, to think of what the long-term strategy should be, that's where interim executives can make a really great impact. They allow you to bring somebody in who's productive, who's experienced, where you're not sacrificing by taking that moment to take a breath. You're able to, in some ways, actually move forward a little bit by bringing in an individual who has been there, who's done that, and can maybe even help you in the hiring process of bringing in that next individual, or assessing your internal talent of who should step up.
And so, Brian, are there some roles that you think are more appropriate for interim or for fractional than others? And are there some roles that maybe you wouldn't recommend these solutions?
I know this is going to be music to your ears. HR is very commonly the interim executive assignments that we support. It's such a critical part of a leadership group that bringing in individuals to help with strategy, bringing in individuals to really help bring an organization forward, that is a key function that we support. In addition to technology, CIO, CTO, areas that we support quite often. And then I'd say the largest group that we support is the finance community. So interim CFOs, interim VPs of finance. And there are times where we've helped organizations that are going through an IPO and bringing in an interim CFO who's been there and who can help coach them through that, bringing in individuals who can help assess a team and scale up and scale down. The areas where we don't support quite often interim executive roles are more so on the sales side or on the CRO side. Those are intimate relationships with clients where if you're introducing somebody who's only going to be there for a certain period of time, that could be a bit of a challenge to have confidence in an organization to say, well, I knew this person and now I know this person, but I know that this person won't be around forever. So when am I going to be introduced to the person who will be here longer? Could it work? Potentially in ways, bringing in a CRO who's helping with strategy as opposed to a customer-facing role, that could potentially work, but we see a lot less of those roles.
That's so interesting. I think those are really good points. I have to say, I've worked with clients who have multiple fractional executives working on their team because they recognize they need somebody with strategy level expertise in finance, in operations, and in HR. And they literally have a team of fractional people helping them out. And it's even if they stay for a short period, even if it's fractional interim, I've never seen them not contribute, but the only one I have seen fail was actually a CRO role where they just were not able to meet the mandate in the time that they had allotted for the contract. So I think that's just so interesting. Let's flip the conversation a bit. What advice would you give to someone looking to launch an interim executive career?
Ooh, that's a good question. I have this conversation often, easier for me to say than I'm not in the chair doing it. I feel like the best individuals who are looking to launch their interim career, you really need to lean in. I feel like oftentimes people toe the line between, will I consider full-time? Is interim potentially an option? It's really hard to do halfway. So what I mean by that is you market yourself in a completely different way when you're an interim executive. It's not about what the roles and responsibilities are. It's really about, what do you bring to the table? What experiences do you have that an organization can benefit from? What problems will you help an organization solve? Where do you see yourself marketing yourself as a business? Because that's really what you turn into. You're not an employee, but you're your own interim executive business. So I would say that folks who really can lean into that and embrace that, they set up their infrastructure appropriately from a legal perspective, from a finance perspective. It's really building out that ecosystem and marketing yourself in that way to be able to really capture the type of assignments that you want to do. I've seen a lot of people over the years toe that line and wonder why they're not having success in either. It's because it's hard to be great at both.
So Brian, tell us about a recent success story.
A recent success story. So I guess I could take that in a few different directions. Success can mean, it's very subjective, can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. What I love most about my role, and as cheesy as it sounds, it's the people part of the business. If this was a role that I looked at as being transactional, it would be a long day and would not be fun. I like to have fun with what I do. So I would say a recent success story is being able to re-engage with an interim executive who we have done some work with over the years, and timing aligned nicely where they were winding down one contract. We were able to put them on contract with another organization. It just so happened that I had chatted with them earlier that week that I'm in the market, I'm going to be looking. I had a client call me and basically describe their profile to a T. Was able to discuss this individual at a high level with this client. One interview started 3 days later. So I think that the relationship component of this role is really critical. And it's not just knowing people's interests and skills. It's about their availability. It's about what they want to be able to do and how they like to work. And when all that comes together, it feels like magic.
So is it fair to say that you would then have a roster of professionals that you basically have placed multiple times with multiple organizational clients, and that you know, it's a longer term relationship? It's not like you would just work with this interim executive once, because of course, within a year, whatever the length of the contract is, they're back out looking again.
Yeah, it is fair to say. I would say that the only group that we probably only are with for a short period of time are those who are in transition, those who may do an interim assignment and then go back to doing full-time work. But absolutely, it's about knowing individuals who like doing this type of work, when they're available. Availability is such a key component of interim. There's a timeliness to it where when clients come to us, they typically will need somebody in short order in the next week or two. So if somebody's not coming off contract for a few months, as much as they could be a great fit, it's just not, we're not in a position to be able to consider them just because of the wind down period. So really understanding where people can add value. And then just as importantly, understanding what people don't want to do. There's certain individuals who love doing OD work and they want nothing to do with labor relations, or vice versa. So I think it's understanding what they want to do as much as understanding what they don't want to do.
Yeah. And without actually that having to have that commitment, that long-term commitment. So it's almost like an opportunity for customers of yours to try on an executive or to even test out whether an executive role is needed in a long-term basis, and also for the interim executive to test out whether or not this is an organization they may or may not want to work with long-term. So it sounds like a great opportunity for both, especially if they're in transition.
And it sometimes can allow an organization to reshape a position. They bring in an individual who is on an interim basis, and maybe they would have associated the function, or maybe they would have associated how this role was done with an individual if they were there for a number of years. We all know that if somebody is there for a long time, it's sometimes difficult to untangle what is the person versus what is the position. So bringing in an individual on an interim basis can at times allow them to reshape the role and say, what do we need in an individual in the future? Or what can this interim executive do over a 12-month span, doing some heavy lifting to say, maybe we could go to market and bring in more of a step-up candidate or more of a junior candidate, because this interim executive in a year is actually going to bring us forward 2 years.
That is such a critical point. I just want to jump on that, because one of the issues that I help my clients sort through, it might be a case where, you know, oh, we've run through 3 HR people in the last 3 years, you know, and I can go in there and be like, well, I can see why. You're very focused on why you want an HR person, but you're not focused at all on what will make the role attractive to the type of person you want. And so there's a huge mismatch there. So if you have an interim or a fractional person in there to be like, hey, I work in this field and I'm going to tell you the way that you have this set up, I would never accept this role full time. Let's fix that. You know, personally, I think I mentioned this on a prior episode, I don't want to report to finance. And it's like, can we get a better pool of candidates if we don't make the HR person report to finance? Even though Kim and I disproved the theory that reporting to finance is a big thing a couple of episodes ago. But, you know, I think that's a thing that clients don't realize. It's like, it's about the HR person or the role that you're creating as well. It's not like, just like, I have an HR hole, let me put an HR person in it. You know, it has to be designed in an attractive way if you expect to retain true talent.
And some of the best interim executives who come in are individuals who don't have experience in that industry. They ask questions that may seem very obvious, but it almost forces individuals and organizations to take a step back and say, why are we doing it that way? We've always done it this way, but is that a way that we should continue to do it? I have a great example of recently worked with a CPG organization where we're looking at bringing in an interim executive. They brought somebody in who had no experience in that industry, had been more so on the manufacturing side, and came in, asked incredible questions, really made them take a step back to say, why are we doing things a certain way? And it ended up being such a great match, because if you're looking at changing how things are done, bringing in individuals with the same experiences might not be able to help with that.
Love that. So true.
It brings a lot of innovation as well when somebody is asking different questions, as we know. So Brian, when our listeners think about Odgers, they think that you need to really be a large corporation in order to access your services. What would you say to that? Who is Odgers serving these days?
From an interim perspective, I would say that the organizations that we work with most often are mid-sized organizations. If you think of enterprise organizations, oftentimes large teams, they will have opportunities to potentially fill gaps through a bit of a team or a community approach. From smaller organizations, oftentimes looking at capital and really being able to direct that capital into areas that have direct ROI and growth. Mid-sized organizations are in a position where when somebody leaves or when they need to bring in an individual, they're able to do so because they're at a certain revenue level. But at the same time, they don't have endless talent that they can lean on. So mid-sized organizations are typically the ones that we partner with most. There's certainly circumstances where we partner with enterprise and we partner with more of startups. But I would say the majority of our work is in the mid-sized organization.
So your services are accessible to smaller and mid-sized organizations who may not have traditionally thought of partnering with Odgers. Very interesting. Thank you for that. So we have some questions that we ask all of our guests. Are you ready?
Love it. Let's do it.
So what's the one thing that you believe a small business could do today to change the game for their people?
Love that question. We chatted about it a little bit earlier about how the pandemic has changed how we work in many ways. I think that the big question that exists now is around flexibility. What does flexibility mean to an organization? What does flexibility mean to an individual? I think that flexibility is our friend when we communicate clearly what we need. I think that there's sometimes a bit of a divide of what an organization views as flexibility versus what individuals view as flexibility. I think that as you're looking to scale and grow, trust in the people that you hired, trust that people will generally do the right thing, and trust that when they're not doing the right thing, you will see it and you will act on it. I think that the world of work is changing forever, which sounds like a bold statement, but I don't think it's, you know, all that bold. But the world of work is changing, and I think that we need to embrace the positive change and recognize that there are a lot of benefits that that exist in the way we work now.
Now we're going to move to rapid fire questions.
My favorite.
All right, Brian, first job.
First job. My first job, I don't know if I was of legal working age. Don't want to get the city of Burlington in trouble, but I guess they're on blast now. I worked for a pool, and my lovely parents had to drop me off at 5:30 in the morning, and I had to clean an outdoor wading pool. And that was certainly very humbling to have to go through with a skimmer basket that was handheld and literally having to clean the pool. Certainly taught me some responsibility, but I remember there being some humbling moments standing in the middle of a wading pool while it was still dark out.
And how old were you?
14.
Love it.
I think parents do that on purpose because they're like, he'll stay in university now.
It certainly taught me what hard work was about. I don't know if my quality was the highest because my parents never asked me to clean our own pool, but certainly they were comfortable with me cleaning somebody else's.
It also probably gave you a huge respect for keeping that pool clean in the future as one of the users or residents in Burlington.
Very true. Very true.
All right. Best job, Brian.
Best job. When I was in college and university, I worked at Future Shop, sadly no longer in existence, but I had always loved electronics. What I loved so much about working at Future Shop, maybe some of your listeners know, some of them don't, is individuals who were associates actually had the ability to manipulate sales prices. So in order to really be able to make packages desirable for individuals, whether it be warranty, whether it be accessories, it really was an interesting learning moment and an interesting place to work because you had to do some really quick math. You had to be able to understand people's wants and needs. So I consider myself really fortunate to work there. It was a really fun place to work, but at the same time, a place that I learned a ton.
Lots of accountability.
Lots of accountability selling iPods.
Biggest mess up at work.
Ooh, I worked at a grocery store growing up, and I do remember pulling out a skid of 2-liter bottles of pop. And wasn't nearly as strong as maybe I thought I was pulling it out of the back room. And I think that every single bottle of pop fell. I think that the majority of them opened. That was a moment where I certainly was looking for a time machine or at least something that could pull me away from there very quickly. So big mess up, both figuratively and literally.
Your best learning.
My best learning.
Or lesson that you learned at work.
I don't know if it would be one specific defining moment. I've been in recruitment now for about 15 years. And at least from feedback I've received from others, something that's just reinforced in what I do is I always put myself in the other person's shoes, whether it be a candidate, whether it be a client. there's a human component to what we do, and I never lose that. So whether it be working through a job offer with somebody, I always think about, if I was that individual, what that mean for me in terms of leaving my role, about the impact to my family, about my enjoyability of work. When people move jobs, they sometimes leave their work bestie. They end up going and doing something a little different. So I never lose the height of that moment and what that means to an individual and to the personal impact of that. And that's something I never want to lose.
And finally, your quickest quit.
Oh my gosh, I think I could have just given three through some of those stories. My quickest quit, I think, would be working in a job for the city, between cleaning a pool to start the day. I worked in a hockey arena, which was just terrible. I'm a hockey enthusiast, but having to go in after pick up hockey and cleaning up after people and the tape and the beer and all of that left behind. I remember very quickly after starting that job how quickly I wanted to update my resume.
All right, Brian. Well, thank you so much for being such a fabulous guest today. Where can people find you if they are looking to add an interim or fractional executive?
I would say the best way to find me is any of the social channels. I'm very active on LinkedIn in terms of sharing what's going on in the world of Odgers interim and professional search, sharing what's going on in terms of other things that I'm seeing in the industry. So always very accessible via LinkedIn, and always up for a conversation, whether it be a client or organization who's maybe looking at interim, but not sure if that's the right path, or an individual saying, I'm not sure if interim's right for me. Can you help guide me in the right direction?
That's great. Brian, thank you so much for being on today. I think this was a great conversation.
Thanks for having me, Jennifer and Kim.
And that's a wrap on today's episode of Just JKing. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and took away some valuable insights to shake up your own HR game.
If you loved this episode, and we hope you did, make sure to hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, and share it with your network. We want to hear your thoughts, your feedback, and even your own wild HR stories.
And don't forget to connect with us on LinkedIn or drop us a message. Let us know what topics you want us to dive into next.
Until next time, keep it real, keep it human, and always keep JKing.
We'll see you next time on Just JKing. Thanks for listening.